the human race, forget about them. Laid waste by the great catastrophe, the remnants of humanity fight for survival in a world scarred by a plague which causes the dead to walk again. Now the zombie hordes add to their infernal ranks with every fresh victim. Can a bold venture across the wastelands of the former United States of America hold the key to our salvation? Or does the future belong to the zombies?
Darker Projects presents Alive Inside, Season of the Dead, Episode 3.
Hey, Adam. I see dead people.
Oh, that's very original, Barbara. Really, I didn't see that one coming at all. How many?
Small group this time. Just 3. They're in the field, heading away from us.
Then don't bother shooting them.
Why not? Means less we have to deal with later on.
Because they're not coming this way, and we don't have the ammunition to waste. Let's save it for when they're trying to break through the fence and get in here. Besides, every time you fire that thing, it seems to attract more of them.
Your call. What I want to know is where they're coming from. When they were frozen stiff, we must have killed dozens of the bastards. How did we miss these ones?
Maybe we didn't miss them. For all we know, they could have wandered here from another town. With the weather getting warmer, they're thawing out. We're going to have to really be on our guard. We should also see about reinforcing the fence.
Do you think that's really necessary? It's pretty solid. Too high for them to climb over.
Yeah, but if you get a couple hundred zombies hammering away at it, it might not stay solid for long.
You might have a point. I'll bring it up at the next meeting. Well, your shift's over. So, where are you off to now?
Home. It's going to be showtime soon.
Oh yeah, it's Thursday. Almost forgot about him. You ever figure out where he's broadcasting from?
Not really. I think he might have set up shop in a library someplace.
A library?
Yeah. Ever notice how he calls the audience good librarians? And always has something to read on the air?
Yeah, but they're all stories about zombies.
I think of it as educational training these days. He gives out some very good points on how to stay alive. He gives listeners hope that we might get through all this alive one day. Besides, I think people are sending him those stories.
Sending them? The internets and mail service are gone now. How are they sending them?
Who knows? Ham radio? Carrier pigeons, maybe? See you later, Barbara. Oh, one last thing.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
Like I haven't heard that a million times since this all started.
It was a small compound of several houses surrounded by a 12-foot-high wooden fence. There were 37 people living here from all walks of life, all of whom had learned to unite in order to stay alive. It was early spring now, and the weather was getting warmer every day. The walking dead, who had been frozen solid over the winter months, were thawing out now, starting to get up and move again. It was only a matter of time before we sealed ourselves up tight to wait out the hot summer months. Wait until winter came back to freeze the hostile dead forces and allow the living some semblance of a normal life. But then, what passes for normal in a world where the dead come back to feed on the living? We were more than prepared for the summer. Our greenhouse had already produced enough food to see us through to next fall. Our scouting parties had returned with enough munition supplies should the unfortunate happen, such as the dead getting in. Although I wasn't going to worry about that now. I had come across the compound after I left New England. I had driven for several days with no clear direction, just on the move looking for... Well, I don't know what I was looking for, to be honest. Maybe other living beings like myself? I made a point in avoiding major cities, which were overrun with the dead. Then I had encountered these people, who had welcomed me in as one of their own. And for the first time since Kelly had passed away, I was able to let my pain go, to let it rest, and find the will to live again.
Hey ho, and welcome, good librarians, to the end of the world. This week, we got us an update from Dan and Fred, who's still alive and kicking all the way across the pond there in jolly old England. And later, I'll be reading a story from Eric S. Brown. You're gonna like this one, good librarians. It's got zombie freaking chipmunks in it.
Chipmunks?
First up, I thought we'd do us some zombie tunes. So kick back and relax, because we got us a cool as hell episode this week. Break open a Corona if you got 'em, because the doctor is in. Hey ho, let's go!
Adam, Adam, you home? It's me. It's Spirit Wind. Open up.
Yeah, I'm here. Spirit Johansson, or as I called him, the Trust Fund Baby. Before the dead came back and the world went to hell, Spirit's father owned a highly profitable hotel chain around the world. Spirit, who had never worked a day in his life, had been known to be seen with the likes of Paris Hilton, Britney Spears, and their ilk. He even had his own sex tape with a supermodel that was mysteriously leaked to the internet. Even though the nation's economy had tanked along with everything else, Spirit still carried himself with the smug arrogance of someone obscenely rich, someone who was used to getting his way all the time.
I knew I'd find you here. Adam, you have to do something for me.
Oh, do I now?
You know they don't want you around, right?
I suspected as much.
They gonna run you out of town.
I've been run out of better. Which was true. I had been run out of Montreal just this spring. Well, not really Montreal, but close enough to the Canadian city that it didn't make much of a difference. They didn't speak much English there anyway, so I had a hard time getting them to accept me. I should say, they didn't want to speak English. The coming of the zombies had really paved a way for them to make the changes they wanted. If you wanted a French socialist Stalin-like leadership, it was time to go to Montreal. They blamed the whole zombie thing on America and Americans, even though the whole damn plague had started anywhere but the United States.
Careful them pots, them's gold now. Maybe you've been run out of town before, but they don't like you, blowing in here on that scooter and acting like they nothing but a bunch of hillbillies.
You really want me to answer that one, Joe?
I suppose not. But we've had it hard round here. The winter was pretty rough on us.
It was hard on everyone. Up in Canada, they were reduced to making soup out of the old leather and tulip bulbs. I'll bet there's not a tulip left in French Canada now, or whatever they call their new country.
You really go to Canada?
I did. I got to Canada just as the snow got too heavy to ride in. I was stuck in a little apartment with another American guy, and we had no one to talk to but each other. What do you want to know about electronic sales? Did you know that in Europe, the cell phones all use the same signal so that no matter where you travel, you can use your cell phone?
I never had a cell phone to care. But why the hell would I care about what they did in Asia?
Europe.
Same difference. Got across a lot of water to get to them. Tell me about them French women.
They were Canadian.
Whatever. I got pictures of them in a magazine somewhere around here, all naked and such. They all that pretty? I'd like to get my hands on a French girl for a minute. The things I'd do.
In addition to having the biggest selection of used motorcycle parts in the area, thanks to a junkyard larger than the town, old Joe also had a selection of various pornographic magazines going back to the 1980s. He had boxes of them. I guess that everyone had to have a hobby. And what better than old cars and skin rags? I liked hanging out with old Joe, not only because he had some parts for my motorcycle, but because he had an old wind-up record player. His selection of music was mostly from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and most of those were either classical or country. It was music, which was more than the Stalinists in Canada had.
Here you go. Take a look at her. You ever seen anything like that? Them titties all up high like that? You think them is real? Damn, I tell ya. That there's a fine piece of tail I'd chase a ways to see.
Old Joe, that guy in there?
I had been reduced to being that guy. When I rode in, I was scooter trash. But the week and a half I'd been here, I'd been downgraded to that guy. I suppose that my abilities on the motorcycle and my firearms had gotten me a little respect. Beyond that, I was still on the outside, and they were just looking for a way to get me either moved along or dead. Don't worry about it, Joe. Yeah, I'm here.
Come on out. We need to talk to you.
What about?
The Shipley girl says you've been messing with her. Get out here or we'll come in for you.
That's bullshit. I don't even know who the hell you're talking about. Besides, Morgan, you've seen me shoot. You really want to push those odds?
You gonna come out? We'll burn the place down around you if we have to.
Lyle, I can't let them burn my place.
Nobody's burning anything, Joe. I'll come out with my guns and we'll talk.
You'll come out and be ready to stand for what you did.
Since I did nothing, I guess that I'll just have to decline your kind offer for a meeting. You're as dumb as a brick, Morgan. You just keep standing there in front of the door while I keep this shotgun on you. Send your cronies away, and you and me will talk.
You can't get away with this. She's just a baby.
I didn't touch anyone around here, Morgan. You know it. You're covering for someone. Now send your buddies away before I make a hole in you bigger than your already too big asshole.
Go on, boys. I'll take him. Don't you worry.
You're off to a hell of a start, that's for sure.
Wanna run that by me again?
I want you to run and get some medical supplies and some other things.
You do know we have medical supplies over at the med house.
Yeah, but they don't have the right ones, man. The ones I need. Yes, Moonchild's gonna pop in a few weeks.
You mean Becky's going to give birth?
Her name's Moonchild now. We've decided to become one with the Earth.
Good for you.
And because the child is coming soon, we're gonna need some things for it. Like inoculation drugs.
Well, first off, it'll be a while before your baby will need to be inoculated against anything. And again, we have those supplies in the med house.
Well, we need other things like formula.
Med house again.
And some, bourbon.
Bourbon?
Yeah, bourbon. For the baby.
Bourbon for the baby. Let's put the cards on the table here, Spirit. You don't want me to go to town for any of those medical things at all. You just want me to get you some booze.
No, it's for the baby. I was thinking we'd throw a party after it's born or something.
Uh-huh. You do know we have a few bottles of liquor stored up, don't you?
Yeah, but they're rationing it. I mean, one bottle a week. How's a civilized person supposed to survive on that? And it's some cheap crap no one's ever heard of before.
How will you ever get through the summer?
That's why you have to go into town. You need to bring me back a few cases. Something to see me and Moon through to the next winter.
You can take my car. It's got more than enough gas to get you there and back.
You want me to drive into town with your car?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, you see, it's like this.
You're afraid that because the zombies are thawing out now that you might wind up getting caught by them or bitten, right?
Oh, no, nothing like that. It's just, well, you see, I don't know how to drive.
You don't know how to drive?
I never really had to learn. I always had someone there who would take me wherever I needed to go.
Incredible. All the money in the world, but you never learned something as simple as driving a car. What do I get out of it?
Huh?
I'm hearing how all this benefits you. I want to know what I get out of it.
Well, while you're there, you can pick up some booze for yourself.
I took care of all my needs and wants months ago, Spirit.
Ah, I could pay you.
Money's worthless these days. Try again.
Well, what do you need?
You know I pull a watch shift at the gate every night. I've been doing it ever since I got here. Every night, for 8 hours, I sit up there and make sure nothing gets into the compound. I've never had one night off.
Meaning what?
Meaning I want you to cover my shift for a little while and let me take a break.
You want me to sit on watch duty? Well, I guess I could do that a night or two.
Try 2 months.
2 months? You expect me to take watch duty for 2 months?
Yes. You want me to run into town and get you booze. I want you to take over my watch for the next 2 months. So do we have a deal?
Fine. I'll take your shifts.
Very good. You'll have your liquor by this afternoon. They say hindsight is 20/20. Hardly a day goes by where I don't find myself wondering what would have happened if I had made a different choice. But in the end, it doesn't matter. You can't change history. Maybe in a way, I was always fated to do this, to go to that small town, to have my existence changed forever.
Life comes at you in strange ways most of the time. There are days when you think, everything is fine, the sun is shining, what can go wrong? And you get hit by a Cadillac while driving your motorcycle in a straight line. Morgan was my Cadillac on this day. He kept ranting about his poor child and how I had defiled her. I'll bet he got his lines directly out of a book somewhere. But the problem was that Morgan was a little too stupid to have comprehended any book he had ever read without the aid of a picture or three to help him along. I wondered just who the hell he was taking his orders from. Old Joe was getting nervous about me holding a shotgun directly at the other man's middle. Joe, who the hell is this Shipley girl?
She's a tramp that hangs out at the bar most nights. She doesn't have much more skills than a blowjob, so I don't know how you could have defiled her like Morgan's claiming.
Morgan, you comfortable?
When my boys get their position set, you're a dead man, baby raper.
I hope you're not talking about that chick that hangs out at the bar, Morgan. She's got a suction that'll pick up a football.
You're a bastard, and you'll never get away with it.
It would help if I could face my accused. That's more than common in the United States. I get to face my accuser.
We decided it would be too traumatic for her to have to go through with a face-to-face trial.
So I just get strung up? Nice. So who's the brains behind all this? You couldn't have thought it up yourself. You just don't have what it takes. As simple as all this is, it's too elaborate even for you.
I didn't need to think nothing up, Scooter Trash. You raped that girl and we won't have it.
Who is we, Morgan?
The town. All the people here. We have to have standards. Keep up the law. Make people toe the line. We can't just have every which one come in here and mess all this up for us. That's the problem with what happened in America. We had all those outsiders coming in and spreading that plague to the good folk here, and the next thing you know, we got the dead coming back to life and people dying. Goddamn Al-Qaeda dropping dirty bombs on people and making them sick and die.
Morgan, do you know what the hell you're talking about?
Fuckers like you coming in and taking our women away. Making him leave for the city. Making our life look backward and like it was nothing. Nothing.
Morgan, I'm leaving. No one was raped. No one was hurt. You're just looking to take a lot of anger out on someone you think might not fight back. But I will, Morgan. I'll fight you and kill you. I'll kill your friends. And I'll kill their families if I have to. You've never seen anyone like me. I spent 3 years in Afghanistan and Iraq. And I've done those things you're afraid of. Just step away and go home.
You're going to answer for all that.
You've got more going on than a beef with me, Morgan. I'm getting on my bike and I'm going. You've been warned.
You ain't going nowhere.
So shoot me.
I just might.
You're not shooting anyone today. Neither are your friends. Go find someone else to be mad at. I'm leaving. If you try and stop me, I'll kill you. If anyone else tries to stop me, I'll kill them. Take your frustrations out on someone else, Morgan, and keep your lies out of my way. If I see you again, you'll die. Do you understand me? Good. I'm going now.
He's gonna kill you.
He's not gonna kill anyone. He's just mad at the world.
Somebody might kill you.
Maybe. But not today. Not right now. You care if I take this one with the Canadian chicks in it?
Bring back memories, does it?
Something like that. So long, Joe. Thanks for the place to crash. If the mail ever picks back up, I'll drop you a line.
That ain't never gonna be mail again. But I like the thought. Be careful.
So, just like that, I left. I strapped all my gear back onto the motorcycle and started it up with a kick. When I pulled out of the garage, Morgan was gone, as well as his cronies. All they wanted was someone to blame something on, anything on. And I happened to be the most convenient person around to catch their ire. I rode through the town, a place just barely into spring, and saw the decay of the winter, and that decomposition was a reflection of how far their minds had gone. I knew that in years to come there would be no town here, no place to send a letter to. The dark recesses of their own fears would come to the fore, and as sure as the dead now walked, they would destroy one another for imagined slights. I rode through the mountains of upstate New York, stopping at small roadside gas stations, garages, and avoiding the larger towns as I made my way south. There was no reason to go south, no reason other than I was tired of the cold, tired of the negative people I had encountered. I stopped outside of Pittsburgh at another small town. I needed gas and food. There was no one alive in this town, nothing that breathed, nothing that could speak my name or cared where I'd been. I stood in the warm spring sunlight outside of the small store, debating if I should even chance going in. I had not seen any undead yet. They were either in the buildings or had moved to another place. I was hoping for the other place answer. Just as I was about to go in the store, my shotgun at the ready, I heard it. The sound of another engine. I debated. Should I run? Should I stand and fight if needed? The urge to leave was just as strong as my need to hear another human voice, have a conversation, and share those things that make us human, those things that set us apart from the beasts which had taken over the world. As I watched, the little VW bug came roaring into sight, the engine pushing it for all it was worth. The driver seemed to be fighting to stay in control, and judging from his actions, he seemed to be running from something. The little VW raced past me, the driver's face was covered with blood, and it was then I knew what he was running from, what we all were running from, death. The car ran straight into a big old maple tree, and parts exploded from the car as the driver was launched through the windshield and landed face first into the tree. There was a noise of the crash, and then nothing. I hitched up my shotgun and entered the store. There was nothing left to see, just another life wasted.
It was a mistake going into town. I should have known better. At first, I didn't see many of the dead. I believed most of them to still be frozen. The closer I got, the more I saw. At first, one or two here and there, then more. Small groups of five or more. Then, as I came into town, there were dozens upon dozens of them stumbling and shambling about all over the place. They wandered aimlessly, at least until they saw my car. After that, they had something to focus on, and followed along behind me. If I had half a lick of sense, I would have left right then and there. But I found myself going deeper and deeper into town, and then I was there, the liquor shop. The last time I had been here, I had been part of one of the scouting parties. It was bitterly cold, and all the dead were frozen stiff. There was no threat to any of us. We took our time gathering supplies. But now, just a few weeks later, now an army of the dead were descending upon me. Again, the smart thing would have been to turn the car around and go back to the compound. I threw the car into park, but I left the engine running. I figured if I ran, I could get in and out before too many of the zombies were on me. I grabbed my empty duffel bag and pistol, and then ran into the shop. It was damp, musty, and dark inside. But even in the darkness, I could see shadows moving about and the moans of the dead who were already inside here with me. I grabbed the bottles closest to me, tossing them into my bag. Just a few more, I told myself. Just a few more, and I would get the hell out of here and be on my way back home. Everything would be fine. Everything would be just fine. That's when the zombie behind me sank her teeth into me and ripped off a chunk of my shoulder. Ah! I had not seen her coming up behind me. I had not heard her. I had allowed myself to get distracted with my task. I grabbed my shoulder. Warm blood was flowing between my fingers and running down my arm. The zombie woman fell back some, chewing away on flesh she had torn from me. I can't describe how disturbing it was seeing something that was feeding on something that was part of me just moments before.
Go to hell, you walking pus bag!
I killed the zombie and ran back to my car. By this time, a number of the dead had gotten close. I shot those who were near me, then dashed into the car. I remembered something Dr. Henderson had told me just before I left Maine. How his bite felt like someone had poured acid on his skin. Well, that's what this bite felt like. Like my skin was being boiled away. Maybe it was the zombie infection that was causing that. I didn't know. I didn't care. By this time, zombies had surrounded my car and were hammering away, trying to get in. Blood kept flowing from the bite. I started feeling lightheaded. It was dark, thick, and warm with an almost overpowering scent of copper, and it was all coming from me. I began to feel dizzy. Was I bleeding to death? Or was this some side effect of the zombie infection? Maybe I was going into shock, I didn't know. How long did I have before I died? Before I died and came back as one of them. I threw the car into gear and floored the gas pedal. The zombies who were in my way got knocked down as I drove away. In a matter of minutes, I was out of town and back in the open countryside. But now a new question arose in my thoughts. What was I going to do now? My thoughts kept coming back to how long I had. A day? Maybe two? No one had ever survived more than a week. Once a zombie bit you, it was pretty much game over. What was I going to do? I couldn't go back to the compound now, not like this. So what was I going to do? Sit and wait until I turned? I didn't want to let that happen. I did not want to let my body become another one of those monsters roaming about, stalking the living. The answer was really quite simple. I picked up my pistol, only to discover I had used the last of the bullets. The gun was empty. Must not be my lucky day. That's when I saw the tree. It was a huge old oak. I'd seen it before on the scouting missions. I pressed down the accelerator. The old car sped up. The tree almost seemed to grow larger the closer I got to it. Larger and larger still. This would all be over in a few moments. I'm coming home, Kelly. I'm coming home. It was cold, dark, and I was alone. There was no one there to greet me. No one to welcome me into whatever comes after this life. And then I woke up. I was on my back, laying a few feet from the shattered remains of my car. I sat up. I felt stiff all over. Oh, my luck really sucks today. I can't even kill myself right. Slowly, I got to my feet. I noticed the area where the zombie woman had bitten me no longer hurt. Not only that, I didn't seem to be bleeding anymore. I reached up and felt for the wound, only to discover that it was gone. It had completely healed over. How was that possible? That's when I noticed that my skin color had changed. It was no longer the healthy color of living flesh, but a pasty, pale white now. The color of death. What the hell is going on? I tried to find my pulse. I felt my wrist and neck. I found nothing. Nothing at all. My heart was not beating. My skin felt cold and clammy. Not warm. Not living. But dead. Dear God. I was dead, wasn't I? I was dead. And had come back as a zombie. But it didn't make sense. It would be some time before I discovered the cause of my condition. Why I was not like other zombies, but that's another story. Zombies are dumb creatures. They don't think. They don't talk. So what the hell am I?
That's a very good question. You got 10 seconds to tell me before I blow your goddamn head off.
This really isn't my lucky day.
You've been listening to Alive Inside.
Season of the Dead, Episode 3, written by Eric Busby and Donald Kopp. Based on Alive Inside, a novel by Eric Busby and Donald Kopp. Featured in the cast were Ellie Hirschman as Adam, John Specht as Lyle, Melissa D. Johnson as Barbara, Jules Esmail as Old Joe, Carl Puder as Morgan, Andrew Edwards as Spirit Wind, and special appearance by Mike West as Dr. Puss. This episode was produced and directed by Eric Busby. Audio engineering by Eric Busby. This has been a Darker Projects production. This has been a Darker Projects production. Visit us on the web at www.darkerprojects.com.